Hey guys, welcome back to Small Talk, What's It, the podcast with your host, Cindy Matome. So right now we are in mid-February, which is so crazy. These weeks are flying by, but we know that time just goes so fast. And not that any of you asked, but yesterday was Valentine's Day and I spent my day by treating myself to chocolate-covered strawberries, which yes, I did buy for myself. And I was watching Love is Blind on Netflix and it got me like weirdly emotional. No, it is not that time of the month. It's just, I don't know, maybe 25 in my feels. So was it like a recipe for disaster or was it self-love? Maybe a little bit of both, but regardless, I had myself a good time. So I'm here for that. And if you guys are in a relationship or you're single like me, I hope you guys are always making time for yourself because we deserve that. Anyway, with that said, I have such a fun guest this week. So let's get into it. Okay, guys. So this week I'm chatting with celebrity stylist Tiffany Brezzino. Some of her clients, just to name a few, include Kane Brown, Angus Cloud from Euphoria, and oh yeah, Shawn Mendes. We chat about her organic journey towards becoming a stylist, where she draws her inspiration from, which is amazing, what it's like working with celebrity clientele, how to make yourself stand out in an ultra-competitive industry, and of course, some fashion tips. Tiffany shares some really fun stories along the way, but I think my favorite has to be that we talk about the fact that she gets full credit for putting Shawn Mendes in a leather jacket. That's one you don't want to miss. With that said, if you want to hear what it's like working behind the scenes as a stylist, or maybe you're just interested in becoming a stylist yourself, then this episode is definitely for you. Now sit back, relax, and let's meet Tiffany. Hey guys, I'm here with the gorgeous Tiffany now, and we're just talking about how she's in cold Canada. So what are you doing in Canada?
Well, I came back to Toronto for a secret project that you guys will know about very soon. But yeah, I left sunny LA to be in the cold Toronto, still my hometown though. There's love there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like yesterday apparently was like the coldest day of the year, which is not fun, but you know.
Yeah. Wait, so you grew up in LA?
No, I grew up, well, I'm actually from Guadalajara, Mexico. So I grew up in Mexico. I'm Mexican.
Oh, fun.
But then our family moved to Toronto. So I spent from ages 10 to currently now in the Toronto landscape.
Oh, wow. Okay. What was that like growing up in Canada?
Honestly, it's amazing. Like yeah. I feel so grateful and blessed that I got to grow up in this environment. It's so multicultural. There's something for everyone. There's, you know, a little bit of everything. It's kind of like growing up in New York, but like the Canadian version of New York.
Sure.
But no, it's wonderful. Like I love being Canadian.
Yeah. What were you like growing up? Were you always into fashion? Like, where did this love of styling come from?
Well, my mom, I came from a performer background. My mom was a dancer, and a singer and an actress. And then my dad's a musician. So needless to say, I grew up in a very like pro performance household. My brother and I would put on shows like in the living room with costumes. It's like, you know, like that's what we would do growing up. So coming into fashion was kind of a very seamless segue from where I came from. My mom was also a model. You know, I was also a child model once upon a time.
Yeah.
And then my grandmother used to make costumes. She was a costume designer. So I started off being a costume designer and then I got into styling completely by accident.
Yeah. And we're gonna get into that story of how that happened. But yeah. Just to backtrack. So did you go to school or was it after you graduated, you headed out to California? Like, what was that transition?
I actually went to school for fashion design. So okay. I went to school here in Toronto for fashion design, and thought I wanted to be a designer, which, you know, come full circle now. I started my own clothing line with my husband called Everyday Lord. So I'm now a designer as well, but, I left it for a while, and started off doing costume design, which I think is a really it's a good transition between like being a dancer for so many years. I started off in dance as a dance choreographer. So I actually never wanted to be in fashion. I wanted to be a dance choreographer
okay.
and go to Juilliard and start my own dance company. Like that was my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I fell into designing. I think it's because of my grandmother. She really influenced me into that. And then fell into styling completely by accident.
And when you say costume design, were you designing, what did you want to design for? Like dancing or like Broadway or like what was like the goal?
I think with costume design, I wanted to do more film and television,
okay.
which I ended up doing, you know,
yeah.
again, totally just organically happened, you know?
Yeah. Like a full circle moment.
Exactly. But I was, yeah. I have always been into theater, you know, that's my background. That's what I gravitate towards. So, you know, designing for Broadway, but mostly I wanted to be the Broadway dancer. That's really what I wanted to be.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, okay. So you graduate college in Canada and then you, is this when you move out to LA?
No. So I actually just recently moved to LA.
Oh, okay.
The last 2 years. So I started off in Toronto. I started my fashion career off in Toronto, which, you know, had its own challenges because the fashion industry is very small here. And it feels, you know, very cliquey and conservative. So as a young minority growing up in Toronto, I felt like, you know, I had to sort of dial down my ideas in order to win the room and clients. And, you know, finally I made the move to New York. And, yeah. You know, I was in that landscape in New York and I felt like I could finally really explore those, you know, more avant-garde ideas, because as you know, New York is sort of like the hub for fashion, you know, like that's where it was born, you know?
Right. So, right.
So I felt like I really did find my rhythm and my voice in my time in New York. And then I went back and forth between New York, Toronto, and then a little bit of LA. And then I just sort of fell into that LA landscape, you know, being a celebrity stylist, it brings you to LA because that's where everything is.
Right.
And so now I'm in LA.
Okay. So backtrack a little. So the birth of you wanting to be a stylist, was this you just experimenting with your own style and then you posted online? Like there had to be some point where you're like, I want to pursue this.
Yeah. I mean, after fashion design school, I was doing dance. So that was like a constant for me. I was a dance choreographer and an art director for a company for 17 years, a really long time. But throughout that, I did do windows and window display for different retailers. And that essentially is styling in a nutshell. And I didn't really realize that it was even a job until, again, I signed up for this program called Image Branding. And then through that program, I discovered that styling was actually a job. And I'm like, wow, like this is like, you know, choreographing with clothing, you know, it's creating an idea. It's creating a narrative. And I think that that's what drew me in. And then I just started doing, you know, editorial and shooting with photographer friends of mine. And it just sort of came really naturally to me to be able to sort of orchestrate a look using different clothing. And I was like, wow, like I feel like I could do this for a living. You know, I really love it.
So was it your network like connections that you were able to explore that styling side? Because like, were people like, hey, like I have a friend that's a stylist and I think you guys would work great together. Like what was like the first job you got as a stylist?
The first job I got as a stylist?
If you could remember.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I interned at an agency, an art agency that represented different stylists and mm-hmm. different photographers. And through that internship, I learned even more about the business and, you know, what it was to be a stylist, like what kind of a stylist, commercial, celebrity, all of that. And then I started assisting those artists. So that was really my first, you know, jump into the industry was assisting. And I will never forget my first assisting job was this like short film, and all they said was hello and goodbye for like hours. So I was there shooting this short film in like this tiny little apartment, and
yeah.
it was summer, so it was really hot, and there was like so many people in there, and literally the dialogue was hello and goodbye for 12 hours, and I was like, I love this. I can
amazing
totally do this.
Amazing.
So yeah.
So over the years, I mean, you built quite a name for yourself. And I mean, you work with some pretty big celebrities, Shawn Mendes probably being one of the biggest, which is insane. And we're going to talk about that. But when you're building your platform, how are you making yourself stand out? Because there's a lot of people that want to be stylists out there and like work with celebrity clientele. And so how are you marketing yourself? And maybe was it different back then to where it is now? And your thoughts on that?
I mean, absolutely. It's different. Yeah. The fashion industry is like, for me, one of the fastest growing industries in the sense that it changes constantly. It changes with the clothes, right? And clothing and trends are always changing. So the industry has to keep up and change as well. So the way that you communicate your ideas and your platform changes all the time. And when I started, we didn't have social media. So that was a massive change. You know, I think nowadays, you know, as a stylist, I do use my social platform to sort of, you know, display the work that I've done. And then that, in essence, gets you more work and, you know, people really know what you're up to, which is good and bad, but you know, we'll leave that there for a different conversation.
Sure.
But that's what it is. And when I first started, it was just more, you know, you showed up to meetings with a physical portfolio to show what you did, you know, and you communicated ideas through actual photo shoots. So you had to set up constant editorials to show your range. So it's definitely changed a lot.
Yeah. And I think that's also like kind of to your point about with Instagram, it's kind of like your portfolio now for a lot of people. And obviously when Instagram first started, it was just a place to showcase what you're doing with your friends on the weekends. But now it has turned into this thing where like, you want to check out my work, like go check out my Instagram. So it's important no matter what industry you're in, even if you're not on it every day, it's a good place to like show what you're up to in your work. Yeah, that makes sense. So, okay. So do you remember one of your first like big clients that you got or a moment where you're like, okay, wait, like I'm really, you feel like you're made it moment.
Yeah. Well, I think, let me just think here. One of the first celebrity clients I had was Dominic Sherwood.
Okay.
He was in a TV series. And at the same time I was working with the Degrassi cast.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And around that same time, I also started working with Sean, because before this, I did more film and television. That's, you know, in the Canadian industry, again, fashion is not as saturated as other places. It's really more film and television, which is great because, I mean, you know, building a character and building that narrative for actors, I definitely take that with me with my celebrity clients. And, you know, we could talk more about that later, but
yeah,
that was probably my first like stint into celebrity styling. And again, something that just happened, you know?
Yeah. What is it about the way that you work with people that makes people want to work with you? Like, I want to work with her. Like, is there a certain, is your style unique or like, what do you think it is?
I think I'm a really funny person. No.
Yeah.
Hey, something to do with personality.
People want to work with fun people. Yeah.
No, but honestly, like if I had, you know, just something to say to the young stylists out there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's the world is so saturated that we're in. There's so many people that want to do the same thing that you do. And what distinguishes you from them is really you. It's like what you bring to the table. It's your energy. It's, you know, the way you communicate ideas. And I think that I'm a very collaborative person. I'm easy to talk to, I think, you know, and for me, when I work with a client, authenticity is number one, you know, so it's like we will sit down, we'll discuss and there'll be a dialogue as to like where they see themselves in 2 or 5 years. Or if they don't know, then I'll present some ideas to them and we collaborate together and grow that brand for them. And I think that branding is really important. You know, people like icons like Jimi Hendrix and, you know, James Dean, like, why are they icons? What made them so special? So when I work with a client, we actually have the opportunity to create an icon. And I think that that's amazing. So that's always the goal every time I work with a client.
Yeah, I think that's important too, what you said, like bringing yourself to the table, because you're right. There are a lot of people that want to do what you want to do. But from the client's perspective, if I'm building a team of like my hairstylist and my makeup artist, and you want to work with cool people and you want people, especially that's like your private, intimate moment, right? When you're getting ready. And so you want to work with people that you can be yourself around and you just get good vibes from. So I think that's super important. And then I'm sure you end up building friendships with a lot of your clients as well.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
And that's
everything. There has to be trust there, you know, like it's art and it feels intimate. It feels vulnerable. You know, you're getting into what makes them feel comfortable. So you have to build that rapport first. You know, there's this running joke about, you know, a stylist being 80% therapist and 20% stylist, because that's what it is. You know, you're catching these artists in sometimes they have 20 different things going in their mind, and you have to now talk about a jacket, you know? So it's like, how do you, how do you get that dialogue going, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's also probably fun for you when they are in those difficult moments. Like, I think clothing could be like a good outlet, right? Like, how are you feeling in your life right now? Are you feeling like a little rebellious? Like, let's play with that. And so I think it's like fun as a stylist to work with, like, you know, your client's emotions in the moment. Yeah. When you're working with your clients, like, how does it work? Are you, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced both, but are you giving more direction or like, or is it more collaborative most of the time?
For me personally, it has to be collaborative.
Yeah.
You know, these are real people, you know, they're real people. They have to go out in the world and wear that thing that you gave them to wear. So they have to love it. You know, it has to be a conversation, but you know, at the same time, I'm there to present new ideas and perhaps push them in a direction that maybe they didn't see themselves in. So there are some moments where, you know, I'll be a little challenged and I'll just say, trust me, like, let's just try it, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, Tiff. And then they just try it.
Just for those, because I feel like there's people that are interested in how those conversations happen. Are you building like vision boards and then you're presenting to the client? Like, what do those meetings look like?
I'm a huge like visual mood board builder. I totally believe, I think that, you know, when I initially get on a project, the first thing I'll say is like, okay, what do you want? You know, what do you want out of this project? What are your goals? You know, who do you want to align with in terms of brands? And then I'll put a deck together and then we have a, you know, a larger conversation that way. We're all visual people. So that's the best way to communicate your ideas is through inspirations, you know. A lot of the inspiration that I gravitate towards is I'm like a history nerd. So I love looking at history. Like I still use my history of costume textbook from school.
I love that.
I'm always like, you know, this like mass. Sometimes I travel with this massive textbook. So I'm like, what happened in the Edwardian era? Like, how can we make that cool and modern with like some Louis Vuitton pants, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm always doing that. And the best way to communicate that is through a deck for sure.
Amazing. Yeah. What's one of the more difficult things experiences that you had being a stylist?
I mean, in full transparency, I would say, you know, you have to really dedicate your entire self into this job. You know, like it's not just a job, it's like a lifestyle. It's everything that you are. You want to put all of it into your job. So, you know, you don't have time for other, maybe like more normal things. You have to make a lot of sacrifices. You know, when somebody invites you to their wedding and it's like a year in advance, you're like, I can't tell you yes right now. I'm going to have to wait till like 2 weeks before to say, yes, I'm coming to that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just things like that. There is a lot of sacrifice of your time, but the reward is, it's just so much more worth it, you know?
Yeah. And that's why it's important. I think really, you got to really love what you do. And in my opinion, to really succeed at it. Yeah. You have like there's a few jobs out there. You can make a lot of money and maybe you don't love it, but I think in order for you to be fully fulfilled because your job is it takes up most of your time. So if you're not loving it, what's the point? You know, so I think that's good that you love it so much. And yeah, you know that the sacrifices that it takes, but it's worth it for you. And I think that's like key that it has to be worth it. That's
absolutely
so good. Yeah. So, okay. So now let's talk about like some of your famous clients, which Shawn Mendes is one of them, which is like crazy. How did this opportunity come about?
He hired me for a music video, Stitches music video back in the day.
How did he find you?
So I was signed to an agency here in Toronto. And he's a Canadian, you know, Canadian boy. So there's, that's the Canadian connection between us, but, they pitched me for this music video. I got it. It was Stitches. And that's the first time we met. And then we just kind of clicked and he's like, hey, Tiff, like, do you want to shop for some clothes for me for this promo? And then I connected with management. The rest is history. So it was really that Stitches music video.
Yeah. And how long have you been working with him now?
Oh man. Maybe like 5 years.
Okay.
But it was a really special moment between us for that Stitches video in particular because he was really against wearing like leather jackets or any sort of jacket. he was in flannel shirts at that time.
Yeah.
So I guess I was, you know, he was impressed by the fact that I got him to wear a leather jacket, and like that later became his branding, you know? It was definitely a memorable moment for both of us.
Oh my God. So we owe the credit to you for edgy Sean. We love it. We love it. So
my flannel shirts.
Absolutely. You also worked with some, I mean, really hot people right now, like Angus Cloud from Euphoria, which is like, everyone's talking about that show now. Okay. Kane Brown, which is the country music singer, which is insane. Emily Hampshire from Schitt's Creek. So, I mean, these people, obviously when you start getting big names like this, it attracts other people to come. And so again, do you have like a moment or a memory, I don't know, a fun moment that you had with one of your clients, like behind the scenes, that you just love talking about?
Oh man, there's so many. I mean, we keep it light. We keep it fun, you know, like there's just so many. I mean, one of my memorable moments, I would say, in terms of like styling would be, I did the Schitt's Creek campaign for their last season. Mm-hmm. And I worked with the whole cast, and working with Catherine O'Hara was a dream.
Amazing.
She's such a fashion person, you know, like she gets the language, and just getting her to wear, I put her in this sort of metallic bustier on top of a velvet, like a velvet piece underneath. And it was, you know, it was such a moment for me, 'cause I'm like, wow, like she's down for anything. So working with clients like that is always a treat.
Oh, and the costume design for her, especially on that show, is like amazing. What a fun person to work with.
Yeah, it was really fun.
What's been like one of your favorite projects so far that like you've done, or something that like you, that you're really proud of?
I think the first thing that comes to mind, I actually got to collaborate with Virgil on Sean's Grammy look, Grammys 2020. And I mean, it sits differently now that after his passing, but collaborating with that team and going back and forth with him on email and, you know, talking about designs was just like, you know, it was wild. Definitely one for the books for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a similar story for everyone that's ever met him. So the fact that you're saying that just falls true to like what everybody else says. So that's awesome that you got to like have that experience and you take that with you, you know, moving on in your career.
Exactly.
Do you have a dream client, someone that like you would love to work with?
Can I say Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah. Again? Oh my God. Amazing. I know. Honestly, I feel like out of all the different types of people, I feel like musicians are probably so fun to work with.
Yeah.
Especially coming up with like when you're doing album covers and editorials and all of that, it's it's a lot of fun. Do you work with, just like my own curiosity, are there people you work with like throughout the entire year where like it's more like street style wear, or is it always like very high-end commercial?
For the most part, it is kind of like larger projects because I do, you know, I'm grateful to have been working with clients that are just always busy. They're always churning out content. So for the most part, we revolve our time around those projects, like editorial, red carpet, tour, you know, that takes up a lot of the time. But I do, again, like when I am working with a client, I do almost all of their branding, you know, so what they look like going to the airport versus what they look like on stage. Like it needs to be this cohesive package. So we definitely talk about and touch on all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. So unrelatable. My life is just like, what sweatpants am I wearing today?
Can we talk about that blue shirt though? I love, like, look at that French cuff.
God, this is the attire. I love her.
I love it.
Yeah. It's good.
So good.
Okay. And also I feel like another interesting part about your job is like when you're doing major events, like the Grammys or whatever red carpet it is. So preparing for an event like that, like take us behind the scenes. How do you prepare for something like that? And the day of, what's going on?
Okay. It's crazy.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I mean, first of all, it takes weeks, if not months, of planning. You know, unfortunately, a lot of the jobs that you get are, you know, they sort of come together last minute. So you need to pivot and be flexible and, you know, make it all come together really quickly.
Yeah.
But when you do have that luxury of time, what I love to do is always partner up with brands, and brands that feel authentic to whoever my client is or wherever we're going with their aesthetic at the moment. And, you know, I love doing custom. I love designing. So I will partner up with a brand and like, you know, sketch things out and pick fabric and like make it a bit more special than, you know, grabbing something off the runway, going into archives. And that takes a lot of time. But again, it's, you know, I do approach it like a lot of my projects. I create a deck, you know, we talk about ideas. I go back and forth with the client. And then we go back and forth with the brand. We have fittings. We finalize that fitting, you know, in fittings, I tend to have like a, you know, a pop-up shop of options. Cause you never know, you know, artists are moody and yeah. You never know. So you want to have backup options. And I'm definitely known for that. Like I do have a lot of options all the time.
Sure.
And working with boys, they love that because, you know, you never know how you're going to catch them. Yeah. And then, yeah. And the day of is really just, you know, making sure that everything fits and everything, you know, they still feel good. They feel good about like what they're wearing. You're constantly checking in. And that's it. You know, the day of is just making it all come together.
Yeah. I've heard of things where like you usually have like a very short amount of time to get ready. Had there ever been moments where like there was a button that got undone or like where there was like a little bit of a slip up and you had to like work really fast to fix it?
Too many moments like that.
do you have one that stands out where you remember like that was like a holy shit moment? We need to get this fixed like ASAP.
Okay. Here's a holy shit moment.
Okay.
Especially for, you know, if you understand menswear, especially with tailoring, there's like a crease in the dress pants that needs to stay because if you steam out that crease, it changes the entire shape of the suit. So we were backstage. I want to say the AMAs with a client and they have their own like tailors and seamstresses in the back. And they also have people that steam the clothes if you want them to. So I sent the suit to get steamed. And unfortunately, whoever steamed it, steamed out the crease.
No.
Yeah. So we had to wear denim on the red carpet.
Oh no. Did it end up coming out okay?
No. Yeah. Everything was fine. Like it was just like, you know, black pants versus black denim. And thank God we had like just solid black denim and it went with the jacket and everything was fine. But you know, I mean, that was like a trigger moment for me. So now anytime my assistants are steaming, I'm like, I know this sounds stupid, but I'm going to say it out loud. Don't steam the crease out.
Yeah. Because it completely changes the look. Like you need the crease.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, has there ever been like someone talked about like your look on like E! News or whatever. You're like, oh my God, like that was my look. Or like when they say something where like, you can be like, I did that. Or like an iconic moment from an event.
Yeah. I mean, there's fortunately enough there's been a lot of press surrounding some of the work that I've done, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know, anytime press is, you know, they're talking about something that I did, I'm like, wow, you know, like I'm still, you know, I almost have like imposter syndrome sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, really it's cool. Like not sometimes, but like a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I'm still like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, is it a big deal? I don't know. I don't feel like it's a big deal, but I guess it is. Like,
yeah. You know. I love what you said before that, like, especially when you're working with like brands and you get to like work with the designers and you get to like use those skill sets and talent that you have from your past. And, mm-hmm. you know, doing this podcast, I hear so many times there's such a full circle moment of like how things you never thought you were going to do again, you end up doing. And I think just kind of like trusting the process and being like, you know what, it's all kind of corny, but like it's all going to work out. And it does. So it's totally. Cool to see
it
how like.
Does.
Yeah. How you get to do that. Okay. Growing your career. Well, actually, before I do that, let's talk about fashion tips. So When you're speaking to your audience, like, you know, what are some things that you tell like the average person that's like not a celebrity? Like, for example, like maybe three staple things you need in your closet.
Three staple things for sure is a blazer. And this goes for girls and boys, you know, like a well-fitted blazer. And when I say well-fitted, it doesn't mean that it needs to be fitted. It could be like, you know, a boyfriend blazer, but just a blazer or an overpiece that really fits you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something about putting on a well-fitted suit that just makes you feel so powerful. And I think that that's like, that has to be in your closet, you know?
Yeah.
I would say denim. Mm-hmm. You know, having, again, the right fit for denim. Fit is really king for me. I think that you can take, you know, a piece that you found at a thrift store, get it tailored to your body. And all of a sudden that $20 shirt looks like $200.
Right.
Because you change the fit, you know, fit, I think, is king.
And people don't talk about tailoring enough. Like if you can really get a piece and get it tailored, right. It changes the entire piece. So
100%.
And go to like your local, whatever, like for $20 and it's not that expensive. So
yeah.
And your third one.
And the third I would say is, invest in good accessories because you can have jeans and a t-shirt and you put on different accessories. And this is a really great way to incorporate current trends. So, you know, say there's a trend of metallics or, you know, black or black onyx or something like that. And you don't necessarily want to invest in like black onyx shoes, just try a black onyx necklace, you know, like that's a really good way to really play with your personality. And I do always say this too, as well, like your personality really shines in your accessories. That's where you could really see like, you know, what people are comfortable with and where they could play. So I would say accessories, you know, having cool accessories and switching those up constantly. Well-fitted denim, whatever that fit may be, and a well-fitted blazer.
Yeah. And I think one of my favorite accessories, I think like investing in a really great pair of like sunglasses that like frames your face well, because I think if you're doing sweatpants, you put a pair of great glasses on, like you automatically make it chicer, or you could be wearing a really awesome blazer that's fitted. You put sunglasses on it, it just elevates the look. So I feel like a great pair of sunglasses is a great investment.
100%.
Yeah.
Also, well, you feel like a little Anna Wintour every time you put sunglasses on. So like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it, honestly, like I could be literally running to the gas station, but if I'm wearing sunglasses on, I just automatically feel like I'm in boss bitch mode. Like no one can mess with me. Meanwhile, I am not. What are some of your favorite places to shop at the moment? Like, or brands that you're loving?
I love to get inspo from like streetwear. You know, that's really like where you could see the future of fashion, you know, in cities like Tokyo, Berlin, Mexico City. And that being said, like I'm always into like emerging designers. One of the emerging designers I'm super into right now is Paloma Spain.
Yeah.
So it's a brand from Spain. Shocker. But I love how imaginative their pieces are, and the styling as well is very, you know, out of the box, especially for menswear. So I'm really into what they're doing. Places to shop, honestly, vintage stores.
Mm-hmm.
That's my pocket. That's where I live. Like even for all of my clients, I love to do the high and low in every look. You know, we'll put on that Saint Laurent jacket, but it'll be with like a vintage t-shirt, you know, like that's, so I would say any thrift store, just thrifting in general.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite thrift stores in LA?
Oh,
or Toronto. I mean, wherever you want to answer that, you could answer.
Okay. Both. Toronto honestly has amazing thrifting.
Yeah.
Like amazing thrifting. For Sean's last show in Mexico City, I wanted to recreate the Jimi Hendrix, like the vest with like the crochet. And I actually found one in Toronto in like little thrift store. So my belief in the Toronto thrifting is on point now. But with LA, I would say I have like my own kind of direct suppliers, because I use so much vintage that I just have like personal suppliers for vintage. But Jet Rag, I don't know if you've gone to Jet Rag yet.
No, not yet.
They have a dollar sale every Sunday, I think.
Oh, wow.
And it's amazing. I found some, like amazing goodies there.
Yeah. And also just curious, like, I mean, do you, I know that you take pride, you know, being Mexican, are there any like smaller brands that you love supporting that, you know, that you want to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really great jewelry brands that are coming out of Toronto. Mergery is amazing. Vitali is incredible. Jenny Bird, just, you know, brands that are mixing metals, you know, you'll see like, pearls mixed with like gold and silver all in one look, but it'll be more like punk rock. So there's like, I love like a good fusion element to every piece that I use. Yeah, there's a lot of really great stuff coming out of Toronto.
Yeah. But also but talking about being Mexican, like, I mean, from your background, do you see that there's more, I mean, has there been a shift from when you first started to where there is now, like seeing in your own opinion with fashion, like when it comes to minority brands?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I had the pleasure of going to Paris Fashion Week a few years ago, and I was invited by Vogue Mexico to go into this room where they had, you know, all these emerging designers from Mexico. And, you know, I met with the editor and, you know, I talked to all the designers and I was like, wow, like it was such a powerful moment for me. You know, here we are, Mexicans in Paris talking about fashion. Like, yeah. I was like, oh my God, you know, there's a shift happening. And needless to say, the collections that I saw were just incredible, you know, Oaxacan prints with like mixing materials and, you know, an ode to like the heritage of Mexico, but also new and contemporary, you know, female, male, like there was such a mixed bag in that room. And that was really special.
Yeah. So cool. Also, as you're talking, total side note, there's an actress you remind me of. And who is there anybody that you get when you
I do. I get so many people all the time.
I think she's from that show that, I mean, she's probably been in other stuff too, but The Secret Life of the American Teenager. I think, do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Who do you get normally when you're out?
Normally I get Selena Gomez.
Okay.
A lot.
Yeah, I could see that.
I get Penelope Cruz.
I found her. You remind me of, her name is, I don't know if I'm, Francia Reza.
Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta look her up.
Yeah, you gotta look her up. You remind me a little bit of her, but I'm like, you remind me of somebody, but you're very pretty. But yeah.
Oh, thanks, girl.
Okay, cool. And then I know we talked about before when you know, when it comes to your personal life, right? You have a very crazy schedule. And you know, one of the downs is that your life is your job. So how do you make time for yourself and the craziness of it all?
I think it just you really have to compartmentalize your day, mm-hmm. you know, and really shut off. When you're like, okay, I'm going to close the laptop now and don't bother me. I'm about to binge Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it, you know? Yeah. So, I do that for myself. You know, I do nice things for myself. I take myself out to dinner. I, you know, get my nails done, you know, things like that, and I really just shut down for like even 20 minutes at a time, or I'll go for a walk and just like look at flowers for 10 minutes. Like, you have to have that balance and you have to find it. You can't, you know, unfortunately you can't have a whole day of it, but right. You can have, you know, 20 minutes here and there.
Are you dating or in a relationship?
Yeah, I'm married actually.
You are married. Okay. So how do you and your husband like make time for one another? Cause I feel like I've talked to a lot of women when they have such fast paced lifestyles, like mm-hmm. it's so important, especially when you're married or in a relationship, to carve out that time for you and your partner. So how do you guys do that?
We travel. Okay. You know, we travel together. He's also super busy. He works for Complex. He's like the head okay. of content in Complex. He's also a personality. He does like interviews and all that. So he's super busy as well. We're both okay. really busy. So we do take a lot of trips together. You know, we travel, we binge Netflix together. Yeah.
I was gonna say, any shows you're loving right now?
Oh my God. Euphoria.
You know what's funny? I have never started Euphoria. Because I heard the show is so dark and sometimes I'm so stressed out. I'm like, do I want a really dark show? But you love it though.
It's beautiful.
Okay. Like,
I'm saying it's beautiful because of the cinematography.
Yeah.
You know, the writing, it's beautiful. It's a piece of art, honestly.
Okay.
Like no bias, but like
yeah.
It's a beautiful piece of art, okay. truly.
I have to check it out because everyone and their mother is telling me to watch it. You like to travel. So what are some places, a favorite place you have been and maybe a place you want to go and that's on your bucket list?
I for sure have to go to Mexico at least once a year, if mm-hmm. not, you know, more than that. My husband and I like to go to Tulum in December. It's just like one of the best beaches in the world. Doesn't matter yeah. how many beaches I've gone to. It's still always amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And again, Mexican food is the best kind of food in the world.
Yeah.
Just saying. And I know that other non-Mexican people will agree with me, but
If you're going to Mexico, what's something I have to order when I'm there?
Oh man. Well, it depends what region you're in.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So like if you're in Mexico City, you have to get tacos al pastor, you know, mm-hmm. because that's what you get there, you know, or if you're in Puebla, you get mole. But yeah. I would say mole is probably a good way to, you know, get to know the region, because with each region in Mexico, the mole changes. It's kind of like curry, like there, you know, different curries come from different places in the country. So I would say mole, definitely dive into mole if you haven't tried it yet.
Okay, cool. And just to kind of like wrap up, what are some of your personal and professional goals for this coming year? You can even do in the next few years, like things that you hope to accomplish mm-hmm. for yourself.
Well, like I mentioned, my husband and I started a clothing line, Everyday Lords. So that's going to take up a lot of our time and just really like diving in and getting that going. But I would say just honestly, like I love how flexible my career is in terms of where it can take me. You never know where you're going to end up. And I'm very open to any opportunity that comes, and I'm flexible, and, you know, I'm just ready for wherever it's going to take me. You know, I love sort of not knowing.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like the beauty of it. Yeah. That you don't really know. And it's kind of fun to figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
If life was figured out all the time, it wouldn't be as fun. So
exactly.
Advice you would give, last question, advice you would give to younger people who maybe are, especially in the current climate we're in, that are a bit confused about where they want to go and what they want to do, and who just feel like they just don't have it figured out.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's okay that you don't have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, like, you know, the only pressure that's coming is from yourself, you know, and, you know, stay motivated, stay inspired, say yes to everything, because you never know where that opportunity is going to take you. And just really experiment with your creativity. Cause again, like, you know, you don't know if you have it in you to be a photographer, but if you've never picked up a camera, then how do you know, you know? And also, like, allow for failure to happen. You're not going to be the best right away. You're not going to be a sensation like overnight, you know? Yes, those stories exist and that's amazing, but it takes work. It takes time, you know, just really enjoy the process, because you could really learn from the process.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Tiff, you are such a ray of light. I love your energy. You're so, so good. I can't wait to see all the projects coming up. And next time I'm in LA or Toronto, I will let you know. And we'll definitely set up something. But it was so much fun chatting with you, and we'll definitely talk soon.
Amazing. Right. Thanks,
guys. Thanks. Bye.
All right, guys, and that's the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I did. I love chatting with Tiffany, and I have such a newfound appreciation for the world of styling and entertainment, because more times than not, we only get to see the final product, and we don't get to see what goes on behind the scenes. So I definitely learned something new today. Anyway, with that said, please be sure to subscribe so you're the first to hear about new episodes. Please leave me 5 stars, rate and review. It means the world and helps my growing podcast. And if you want to learn more about Tiffany, be sure to check out the description where all of her information will be. And until then, I will chat with you guys next time. Have a fabulous week. I love you all, and we will talk soon. Bye.